Numbers chapter 6, I want to talk to you today. And the concept is what the ancient patriarchs knew, what the ancient dads knew that made such a difference in their family's life. And one of the biggest events and thrills of my life has been a dad. Easy? Absolutely not. But one of the biggest thrills was being a dad. I didn't get to be a dad till I was in my 30s. And so I had a blast. I mean, I was like a grandfather then, you know. And you don't want to go to jail. Oh, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing today. What's the big deal about school? Let's go fishing. And we'd go over here and fish. I don't know how many days you ought to see it in the back there. Gone fishing. They'd sign it. You had to sign out at the academy where your kids are. I'd go gone fishing. And I'd take them over here. We'd go fishing a while. I'd come back. I used to take them to school in a tractor. I'd put them in a tractor in the front end loader. And they had the thing. I'd dump them out at the door and then take on off again. Made school very interesting. I had a blast doing it. But I just love being a parent. In Numbers chapter 6, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron, who is the high priest, and his son, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. Ever say bless. Thus shall you bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. So I want to talk to you today about what the ancient patriarchs knew, what the ancient dads knew, and how they dealt with their families. And this has been one of the secrets of my life that I've done with my kids from the time they were born until now. We do it every night. Jasmine, every night and every morning, we pray over our family and we bless our family. And I'll show you what we do. And it's called imparting the blessing to your family. So let's pray about this today. Father, we love you. We need you, Lord. We just ask you to teach us of your ways that we can know, Lord. This thing being a dad, many of us were just thrust into it without a lot of preparation. And so, Lord, we just ask you, teach us, Lord, that we can be a blessing to our families and that our families be a blessing to the earth. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. 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 You can be seated today. Look at somebody and just say, bless you. Would you just say, bless you, if you would? I believe we have lost the supernatural significance of the blessing. And it's been lost in Christianity. You know, Christians use the word bless so often, it no longer means anything. Somebody sneezes, we say what? And so we kind of lose the whole impact. The Irish has a blessing that says, may you be in heaven 30 minutes before the devil knows you're dead. Some of you need that, all right? But we've lost the power of the blessing. And what is a blessing? Christians believe that if you want a blessing from God, that you have to do something and then God will bless you. That's legalism. And that's literally becomes witchcraft. God's not in the let's make a deal program. God is into blessing. The Bible says it. In fact, children can, how many know children can be a challenge sometimes? We've got some grandkids and they're all different. I've got one named Isaac. And Isaac, I can't wait till he goes to school because I know that I'm going to get a phone call along with his parents many days. Isaac can be a bit challenging. Let me just say it that way. And the other day, Jasmine was dealing with him and he looked at me. He said, Mets Mama, being obedient is very difficult. Come on, somebody. There was a little boy in Catholic school, and the nun, he was kind of a difficult one. And so the nun looked at him and said, listen, if you'll be good for 6 weeks, God will give you a bicycle. So he went down, he started praying, he said, oh God, make me good for 6 weeks. And so I said, scratch that. I can't be good for 6 weeks. Oh God, make me good for 4 weeks and give me a bicycle. I'm to scratch that. I can't be good for four. He said, oh God, make me good for 2 weeks and give me a bicycle. And then he said, I can't do that. He looked up, he saw a statue of Mary in the corner. He went and grabbed his blanket, wrapped her in a blanket, hung her on the bed, said, dear God, if you want to see your mama alive again. Everybody say, children are a blessing from the Lord. We have to remind ourselves of that every once in a while. And kids, you know, sometimes you think they've got brain damage. Don't eat that cookie, you know. And 10 minutes later, you see crumbs all over their face. What did you do? No, I never ate no cookie. So the fact is, listen, if you feed your child in the course of time, they will become teenagers. Just a matter of fact, I don't know if you discovered that or not. And let me give a word of advice to teenagers. If you're tired of being harassed by unreasonable parents, now is the time to take action. Leave home and pay your own way while you know everything. they're not in here, so they're out, you know, so I can say all that. My point is this, children are a blessing from the Lord, and but the attitude of America are that they're a curse. And you know, Psalms 127 says this, "Behold, children are the heritage," everybody say heritage, "from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." It is. And then do I have the next verse? I didn't put verse 4. I didn't put verse 4. Let me read the rest of it. It says, they are an arrows in the hand of the mighty man, so they are the children of his youth. Happy is a man who has a quiver, a house full of children. And let me tell you why they are an arrow. An arrow in that day spoke of protection, and it spoke of provision. They could kill their animals and they ate them. Arrows protecting themselves from enemies. And let me tell you what children are. Children are protection and provision for your old age. Believe this or not, when the Bible was written, there was no such thing as Social Security. Your children was your Social Security. And then probably more reliable in the day that we live in. They were the Social Security. They were in God's program. Parents raised their children. And then when the parents got old, the children took care of the parents. Well, can I get amen in this Presbyterian place? That is still God's plan. It is better than Social Security. It's a mystery to me how a man and a woman can take care of six kids and six kids can't take care of two parents. One of the greatest honors of my life was being able to take care of my mom and dad the last 5 years of their life. Easy? Absolutely not. Challenging? Absolutely. Doing things you never thought you would do? You do. But let me tell you, it was the greatest honor of your life when you do that. And listen, don't neglect God. Don't turn it over to the government to take care of your parents. I know there are situations, you know, where you have to do some things. But I tell my children all the time, I tell them in the form of a threat, someday I'm going to come live with you. I'm going to drive your car like you drove my car. I'm going to eat your food like you ate all my food. I'm going to talk on the phone just like you talked on the phone all the day. So I said, what a life I've got ahead of me. And one of the keys about it is Satan doesn't want covenant children. But there's something happens that you bless your family. Doesn't mean they don't get in problems. Don't mean you have challenges, which we all have. But there is a blessing. Listen, the blessing on your little paper I gave you on this side, you can write this in. What is the blessing? Here it is. The blessing is the impartation of the supernatural power of God into a human life by the spoken word of God's delegated authority. Let's read it again. You can write that in. Leave it up for a little while so they can write it in. The blessing is the impartation of the supernatural power of God into a human life by the spoken word of God's delegated authority. It's the impartation of a supernatural power into a human life by the spoken word of God's delegated authority. Whether that be a parent, whether that be whatever God's put you over, listen, it's not a religious thing, it's a legal thing. God has set this thing up. It's a legal thing God has put in place. It's a fact as real as gravity that God created, that if you jump off this stage, you're going to hit the bottom. I used to jump. You got to see, the stage used to be real high. And when I was young, I used to jump and jump back up. Now, if I jump down, I may sprain. And if I have to come back up, I'll go back up those stairs. Come on, somebody. I'll come back up here and sit down. But that's as real as the power of the blessing. It is a supernatural impartation into the life of a human being by God, by the spoken word of God's delegated authority. What that means is, dads, one of the greatest truths I ever learned in my life was I have the power to speak into my children's life, a supernatural impartation by the words of my mouth. I am God's delegated authority. I tell my, and when my kids were little, you know, I introduced myself. I am the sheriff of this house. Come on, somebody. I have been, but I am God's delegated authority for my household, and I can speak no matter how old they are. They may be grown and gone. I have grandkids now. Jacob blessed his grandkids, and I bless my kids. So I continually bless my, how many know your children still need it? They might be 50 years old, but they still need the blessing of God on their life. Somebody told me, said we were talking about my mama's funeral, and we were discussing that we were losing a great prayer warrior. I said, absolutely not. You think my mama's not praying for me up in heaven? Come on, somebody. She's praying for me up in heaven. If she can get near Jesus, hey, she's telling about me up in heaven. Come on, somebody. She's praying. Pray for that guy. You know what he's doing. That guy, pray for him. And so there, listen, there is something that happens no matter what age you are, where you're at. And let me give you a brief history of the blessing. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock, the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created them in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God did what? And God did what? Now get this, because this is not just some religious, oh, bless you, bless you. I remember, you know, people just write, God bless you, you know, have a blessed day, da, da, da. And we use it so often, we've lost the power of it. And the Bible says God blessed them because it was important for him to do that. Because he wanted them to be blessed. He wanted them to be able to multiply. He wanted the earth to be filled with people. And so the first two people that he ever created, the Bible says, he spoke an impartation into their life, a supernatural impartation by the spoken word. God spoke it over them and it blessed them. It created things in them. It produced things in them. And so God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. Here's the blessing God is speaking. The authority over their life now is speaking an impartation into their life. And he's telling them, he's blessing them with these words. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds, the heavens, and every living thing that moves on the earth. And God blessed them in that way. In fact, in Genesis chapter 12, we're down thousands of years in history now. Do I have Genesis 12? Yeah. And the Lord had said to Abram, go in your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will do what? I will bless you. Somehow we got it and trivialized it to the point of just God's going to make him rich. Has nothing to do only with that. That included. But it had to do with the authority over his life, speaking an impartation into his life by the spoken word that God blessed this man Abraham. And listen, the blessing of Abraham has literally shaped the destiny of this world. The blessing that God spoke, the authority over his life that's imparted into his life has literally shaped the destiny of this world. And I'll show you that in just a little bit, both naturally and spiritually. Let's jump to the New Testament. In Acts chapter 3, and all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel to those who came after him also proclaimed these days. This is Peter speaking. You are the sons of the prophets and the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, in your offspring shall all of the families of the earth be what? Blessed. Listen, the blessing that God spoke into Abraham's life literally came down to us. All the families of the earth will be blessed. God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. And so literally the blessing of Abraham has come upon us. Whenever Jesus, who was a rabbi, began his earthly ministry, remember we said, we went through all the Beatitudes, was blessed are those and blessed are those and blessed are those. And he began his own ministry by blessing, speaking the supernatural impartation into the earth. His first sermon ever recorded was the blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. Because just like God blessed Adam and Eve at the beginning, here Jesus comes on the scene in the first sermon he ever preaches. He's doing an impartation into the earth, a supernatural impartation. I love the blessing of children in Mark chapter 10. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter. And he took them in his arms and he did what? He took these children into his arms and he blessed them. And we think, well, what means he just said, well, bless you, little baby, you know, here, diaper change, you to give me back. He didn't do that. He did what every rabbi did. He spoke Numbers chapter 6, the same thing we read this morning, the very first thing. Thus shall you bless Israel. Aaron was the rabbi, the high priest. And here comes the high priest from heaven. And they bring their little children to him and they lay him in their, in his arms. And the Bible says he got indignant when he saw the disciples stuffing them. And he took these babies and the Bible says, and he blessed them. If it wasn't important, why did he do that? Because it was important. He knew the power of impartation, of the power of authority over a child's life, speaking into that child's life. Can you imagine these children? I always say, what do you think happened to these children? You think those mamas were right to butt in around everybody else and hand their baby to Jesus? Jesus, how many would like to do that with your child? Would you like to just hand your child right in the hands of Jesus and let Jesus speak a blessing? It took Jesus time out in his earthly ministry to be a blessing. My question is, if it wasn't important, why did he do it? It absolutely was important. Did Jesus do these things that weren't important? Absolutely. When he picked them up, he blessed them. And he said what I said, what every other rabbi would say. In 1 Chronicles 16, David did this. Then all the people departed, each to his house. And David went to his home to do what? To bless his household. He just brought the Ark of the Covenant in. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline, the instructions of the Lord. And one of the keys is, one translation literally says, blessings. Don't provoke them to wrath. Your fathers, take your children to church. Your fathers, train them. The word train there says, train them up, bring your children, but bring them up. And the word is train in the King James. But the word there for bring up or train is where we get our English word gymnasium. And it had to do with a coach training an athlete over and over. No, shoot the ball. Here's how you do that. Dribble this way. You do this. And so literally he's telling us as delegated authority, as parents, as fathers especially, train them up. Teach them over and over. You don't send them to church. You go to church with them. Come on, somebody. You watch them day after. How many know that my kids go to church? You know why they go to church? Because daddy went to church. Daddy went to church every day. It didn't matter where daddy felt good. Daddy didn't feel good. Da, da, da. Daddy went to church. Da, da, da. And so when you begin to understand that the Greek word is the Greek word for a teacher in the Greek, culture was mind engraver. How many know some kids need a little bit more mind engraving than other kids need mind engraving? Men might going over and over repetition the same point until it began to engrave upon them. God created your children with a desire to be just like you. Isn't that scary? Not like their teacher, not like God put an inborn thing in their children to be like you. And you need to understand that, remember that. Listen, school is not the place where they learn morals. They learn morals at home. If daddy cusses, they'll cuss. If daddy drinks, they'll drink. If daddy don't go to church, they won't go to church. And so I've learned that in my life. I can teach my children anything. I say, oh man, I can't teach my children nothing. Listen, I've been to SeaWorld. They can teach a porpoise how to play basketball. They can have a whale go out there and wave at the whole group out in the stands. Listen, you can teach your children. They're not, listen, on and on. I thought maybe, you might break out in a cold sweat, but did you know that it could possible that your child may one day grow up and be president of the United States of America? And what would they do if they were the president of the United States of America? They'd do what you taught them. They would do exactly what you taught them. When Jesus spoke the blessing over these children, when he held them in his hand, a supernatural spiritual authority, there was an energy, there was a supernatural energy that invaded those children's lives. I'm going to tell you something. You cannot believe. Watch this little video we got of a son talking about a day when he's in college. His daddy says something. Listen to what he says. Watch this.
I can show you a letter at my house that my dad sent me. It was actually an email. I was in college, and it was, I'm dating myself, but it's kind of when email began. At least for me it did, back in college. But I was in college in Mississippi, and my parents are from Baltimore, Maryland. That's where I grew up. And we were big Orioles fans. And my dad and I were communicating through email the day after Cal Ripken Jr. broke his big consecutive game record. It's a huge deal where I come from. And so my dad's writing me about it and in this email. And I don't know if I think he intended to bless me, but whether he intended to or not, he changed my life that day. And this is what he said. He said, "Dear Jeremy, I was watching the game last night. And when Cal Jr. was doing his victory lap around the stadium, receiving all the affirmation from the crowd for breaking the record, the camera panned over to Cal Sr. And he said, Cal was crying and he was emotional because he was watching his son, and he goes, and I began to cry. He said, but what I want to communicate to you is not, I didn't cry because I was a Cal Ripken Jr. fan. And this is what he said at the end. He said, I cried because I have two Hall of Fame sons that are going to make more of an impact for God's kingdom than any broken record could ever make. And I remember in the computer lab crying like a baby and ready to run through a stinking brick wall after I read that email, because what my dad did was he gave me permission to go change the world, not through my own strength, but through God's. And that was an amazing experience. My dad thought I was cooler than Cal Ripken Jr. that day. And that unleashes you. That unleashes you more than you can ever imagine. And that's really what this is all about. The whole blessing process, it's an unleashing into the world and helping our children imagine that, hey, there can be more that come out of my life than I could ever dream if I just simply believe what's being told to me, that God in me can do more than I could ever do myself.
Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us. Raise your countenance on us and give us peace. Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us. Raise your countenance on us and give us peace.
Everybody say amen. Amen. In Luke chapter 24, let me show you this you may not realize. You know why we're here today? Do you know why we're here, why we have made it over 2,000 years as a church? In Luke chapter 4, Jesus does something that you may not even recall. I used to call this, what was the last thing Jesus ever did when he was on earth? What was the last thing? You know, his first sermon, he started out with, blessed are those. What's the last thing he did on earth? Look what it says. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he did what? He blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him, returned. You know what he did? Do you know what he was doing when he just started, you know, they're watching him, all of a sudden he got taller. Oh, no, he's not taller. He's rising up. He's got his hands out. And he would say, what do you mean when he says he blessed? He's doing what every Jewish rabbi would do. The Lord bless you and keep you. Early church. Young 120 believers. The Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord keep, the Lord make his face, and all these things. And then what they do is a rabbi would do, he would say those things, and I'll show you in a minute. He just didn't repeat those words. They have meaning in what he was saying. He would say about, but he would just enlarge whatever the Lord put on his heart to bless his. And can you imagine the reason the church is here today? As surrounded by enemies and just a small group, and Jesus, the founder, is gone now, no longer in the midst. You know why they're here? Because he blessed them. Come on, son. He spoke a supernatural impartation into that 120, and they began to turn the world upside down because they believed what God said about them. They believed the words that Jesus spoke to them. I mean, it's amazing. We begin to read it in Numbers chapter 6. We'll read it again, exactly what he said. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Lord, be gracious. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And so shall you put my name upon the children of Israel. And Jesus blessed them as he was leaving. He blessed that early church and they began to go. In Genesis chapter 12, God blesses Abraham. And he says, and through him all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Let me tell you something. The earth has been shaped. Its destiny was shaped by that blessing that God blessed Abraham at impartation. Let me tell you how America, see, Joseph, who was a Jew, was taken down into Egypt, sold into Potiphar's house, and then became a second in command in Egypt, and then was shown the vision, the interpretation of the dream, and therewith they hoarded up grain beyond to be counted. And then when the earth went through 7 years of famine, the whole world was saved through a Jew. Come on, somebody. The whole world was saved by the impartation that God did in Adam and Eve and then into Abraham. And God imparted into them. And literally there was a change in their life. And literally, here's Joseph by the anointing on his life and the impartation. And John chapter 4, verse 22. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the... What does that mean? Salvation is from the Jews. That means the Jewish contribution to Christianity. Without it, there would be no Christianity. Without the contribution, without the blessing that was upon Abraham. The Bible was written primarily by Jews. There's not a Baptist in the bunch. Come on, somebody. Written by Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. The seed of Abraham has blessed every person in this room. The seed of Abraham has blessed everyone that is blessed by the word of God. It's the fulfillment of the blessing over Abraham. The blessing of Abraham produced the discovery of this nation. I don't know if you know that. Christopher Columbus was a Jew, an Italian Jew. And the reason was when King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella issued the edict, the expulsion from Spain, all the Jews, Jewish businessmen gave to Columbus the money necessary to find a world where the Jews could go to. I don't know if you know all that. They don't teach that in history books now, but all historians know that from the time that the Jews were kicked out of Spain, what was called the Golden Era ended all over the world. And a new era began with America, because America wasn't always a pivot point. You know all that. We weren't even discovered until after Christopher Columbus. I want to suggest that much of the blessing in our life has been placed on America is because we have made a home for the Jews away from home until God opened up Israel back in 48. I believe the Bible says, he that blesses Israel shall be blessed by God. And I'm going to tell you the reason America was going, one of the Americans, we opened our arms to the Jewish culture and the Jewish nation to be able to come here, have a home until God opened up the nation of Israel again and they went back. Let me tell you another accurate historical story you seldom read about in American history classes. That is when the 13 colonies were fighting the British over American independence. Washington and the Union was poorly fed, poorly clothed, were on the verge of defeat. And a Jewish banker by the name of Chaim Soloman of Philadelphia went to the Jewish community in America and Europe and collected millions of dollars to loan to the Continental Congress and loaned it without any interest and without anybody signing a paper. Come on, somebody. Without signing any note. And when America listened, they did it without any assurance. And George Washington was so indebted to the Jewish community that he told the engravers of the American dollar, we want to put a lasting symbol of the Jewish contribution on the $1 bill. And whether you know it or not, you've carried around the Jewish symbol of blessing that's been on our life. In fact, look to the backside of a Jewish banner. You see this? The Star of David that he put on there. And you see it, it's literally like the starburst. And all that glory around over this eagle is literally Shekinah glory is what they did when they first did it. Those stars make out the Star of David. I won't go into all that. But let me tell you why. Because listen, the Jewish contribution, God's blessing is permanent over and over again. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered why the Jewish people have so traditionally prospered? You know, the big joke around, oh, he's a Jew. I would just say this. I won't go to that. So the Jewish, there's always jokes about Jewish people being rich and being this and being that. Let me give you a stat you may not know. Jewish people represent a little less than 3% of the American population. But yet they represent over 80% of the Pulitzer Prize winners. Less than 3% of a population in America is Jewish. Yet they represent over 80% of the Pulitzer Prize winners. Why is that? Is it just luck? Let me tell you, no Jewish family, Orthodox Jewish family, sends their child off and says, good luck. Nobody says that. Well, man, good luck on the test today. Man, good luck. Good luck, on your driving test. Good luck on... None of them. Listen, you know what they do? Listen. It's the blessing that Aaron posed to their passed to their fathers that they passed on to their children. Listen, whenever a Jewish boy or girl reaches the age of 13, they celebrate what's called a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah. And the parents invite all the relatives and their friends, and they give gifts at an appropriate moment. They put their hands on that child at 13 years of age, and they bless that child just like God told Moses to tell Aaron to do. They put their hands on that child and their bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. And they pray over that child the blessing on that. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord. And then they speak whatever else. The Lord is going to do this. The Lord is going to do that. The Lord do this. And they pray over their children. And then they, listen, they renew that blessing every Sabbath day. Gentile Christians need to learn what the ancient patriarchs knew. We need to learn to bless our children in the name of the Lord according to the authority that God has placed into our lives. We've done that in our children's life from the time they were born until now. We have prayed over our children. We believe in the power of authority that God put over there. And I can speak into my, listen, my little Isaac, because he is our challenge. I do this with Isaac. Here's what I do with Isaac. I said, Isaac, look at me. Look at me, Isaac. Look at me. And you know how that, most time when you say that, that means you know what I do? I say, look at me. He looks at me, he stops, he says, Isaac, I love you. I said, Isaac, I'm so proud of you. Isaac, God's got great things for you. I said, Isaac, look at me. I make him look back. I said, Isaac, I don't know, you're special. God's got something, I mean, you're special. You know why? Because I was a difficult child when you were little? And I remember my mom especially would continually look at me and say, you're special. There's something about you. You're special. God's got something. You're special. God's got something. You know, Proverbs 18 and 21 says this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Listen, death and life, when words you speak create an atmosphere, because you have the supernatural authority from God to speak into your children a blessing. Excuse me. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Help me, Lord. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrust. Now read this. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding him. No, you're not kidding him. You're cursing them. Never, 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 as the authority over them, tear them down. Man, you look at him. Don't do that. And the reason you do it many times is because that's what was done to you. But speak healing. Speak blessing. Listen, bless. The Bible says bless and curse not. It wasn't just about, you know, saying a bad word. It was about let your words be blessing words, not tearing down words. And so that's and let me just end up this morning by the content. Let me tell you how this works. I don't believe that when they said that every time, that's you just repeated Numbers chapter 6, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. You can do that. But it's like the Lord's Prayer. They just didn't repeat the Lord's Prayer. It was every sentence, every part of it was something you took and you enlarged. And so let me give it to you. The source of all blessing is from the Lord. The Lord bless you. Proverbs 10 and 22 says, the source of all blessing is from God. You can write this in. The source of all blessing is from God. Proverbs 10, 22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. You know what it is? The Lord bless you. The word bless literally means on bended knee. It's literally, it's a picture of when a groom would get down on his knee. You've all watched these movies, Jasmine and I love to watch Hallmark movies. And how many know they're all, I think the same guy must write every Hallmark movie. You start out, they don't know each other, and then they meet, and then they fall in love, and then there's a problem, and then they back, and they have the marriage. That's the whole story of the Hallmark movie. And you know at some point in some of them, he's going to get down on a knee, right? He's going to get down on a knee at the exact. That's what this word blessed means. It means on bended knee. It was as if God comes to you on bended knee, like he did the disciples at the Last Supper, and washes their feet and blesses them and teaches them. And it's like God comes on bended knee to you. The Lord bless you. So when he says the Lord bless you, when the Lord bless you, your darkness will come to light. Your danger will become safety. And then the second one was the Lord keep you. In verse 24, it's literally what it says. It is a military word. It's a military word. And it keep it was the way that shepherds would use thorn bushes to build a protective enclosure. And they would build that around their sheep to protect them. The word keep, when it says, then the Lord, when you pray over your children, the Lord keep you. Just don't say, but enlarge it. Make it what it is. It's a military term. It means, Lord, I put a hedge of protection about my kids. Lord, I bless them in the name of the Lord. Listen, when David was a shepherd, he wrote Psalms 23 and says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And literally what a rod was for, you know, a staff had a crook in it. When a sheep was about to fall off a cliff, a shepherd would grab it or pull it out of a ravine or whatever it may be. But the rod was used against enemies. When a lion or a bear or whatever it would be attacked the sheep, you never saw a man like a shepherd. He would go literally with that rod, and that rod would be used in like a club and club whatever animal is going after the sheep. And so when you pray over your kids, I prayed over my kids. How many of you have ever prayed over your kids and prayed people away from them, prayed people into their life and prayed this and that? And so what you do is you use that rod of authority you've got and say, when you pray over your children, the Lord keep you. You're speaking a military term. You're speaking an enclosure around your kids. And David would do that. And so I've learned this. I said, I just see those enemies coming against my children, and they're coming and coming and coming and coming, whatever it might be. And I know this. I began to pray. I said, God, pull out your rod. Come on, somebody. Lord, pull out your rod and go after. Lord, be their protection, God. I can't always be there, but Lord, you can be there. Be their protection, oh God. And you begin to do that. And so I've learned to do that in my life. You remember Balaam? Balaam was a prophet in the Old Testament. And I'll say that word loosely. And he was when Israel was coming into the land, there was a kingdom, and Balak was the king. And he called Balaam, who was a kind of a, I don't know what he was, soothsayer or about it. And he brought him to curse Israel. And the Bible says he brings him against Israel. And Balaam asked the Lord and wants to curse Israel for some money. And the Bible says, God said, you can't curse them. They're blessed. Come on, somebody. You can't curse them. They're blessed. You can't curse them because Father Abraham spoke a blessing over his life. And these people are blessed of God. You know, I did in my life when I had my kids, I said, hey, devil, you may try some things, but my child is blessed of the Lord. Come on, somebody. And Lord, I thank you. They may try to be a curse upon them, but Lord, I break that in the name of Jesus. I might have to battle through some things and go on, but listen, you learn that you are, the Lord keep you. Come on, somebody say amen. The third one was the Lord make his face shine upon you. It's a word picture. The shining of the face of the Lord is light. When the blessing of the shining of the face of Jesus shines a light, listen, all the occult has to go. All the darkness has to go. On and on. The Lord make his face shine upon you. One translation even says, the Lord turn his face towards you. And I remember, it's like in a crowd. We've been sometimes to foreign nations and somebody we know there is going to pick us up. And so we're looking in the crowd, and you're just looking around and I don't see them. And then you met in 1,000 people, then suddenly you see their face. You ever done that? And you just see their face. And next thing you know, that's, it's just like, you know, they've got their face turned towards you. I remember one time a buddy of mine, he was in bed, and his kids had asked for water for the 60th time. You know how that goes. And he said, all right, go to bed. If you ask one more time, I'm going to bring the belt out. Remember the belt? The belt was a dangerous thing. And so he heard this thing, and the bedrooms were close to each other and down the hallway. And suddenly you heard this little voice says, Daddy. And so he never responded. Daddy, is your face turned toward me? Think about that. You ever ask the Lord, Lord, is your face turned toward me? And I pray, I say, Lord, have your face always turned toward my kids. God, let your face shine upon my children. It's like the difference between a rainy day and a sunshiny day. Some of you like rainy days, but I like sunny shade. Come on, somebody. I like sunshiny days, which we're not going to have the rest of the day today. But we have sunny days. How many know our roof is over halfway done? Come on, somebody. We're putting the roof on the top, and so I was praying it wouldn't rain. All right, number four, the Lord be gracious to you. The blessing of grace. See, grace, let me tell you, justice is when you get what you deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. But grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Amen. And I pray all the time, God, give them what they don't deserve. God, give my kids what they don't. They're being knuckleheads, right? Give them what they don't deserve. Lord, be gracious to them, God. Lord, be gracious to him. God, forgive him. For remember Job? He every day he would sacrifice, say, God, if my kids have done anything, da-da-da. He said he'd pray over his children. He said there's a blessing of God that you can pray over your kids. Continually pray. God, Lord, let you know. The fifth one is, Lord, lift up your countenance upon you. Lift up was a Jewish term. You ever know somebody that they never, when their feelings are, they wear their feelings on their sleeve, you can tell. If they're mad, you can tell they're mad. Other people, you can't tell. You don't know what's going on in their life. Other people, you know, they got their chin on their chest. And the Jewish people were very emotional. And so when they did that, when they got unhappy, they put their chin on their chest. And the Bible says, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon him. It meant the Lord lift you up. And I prayed for him. You know, one of the hardest things. You know why I used to do a lot? I used to do with my kids. Come on, let's go fishing. You know why? You know, kids are under a lot of pressure today. You don't even realize that kids are under a lot of pressure. Fear pressure, drug pressure, school pressure, all that kind of stuff. And the last thing they need on me is some strict dads to the point of I'm just so hard on them. But, both my kids were valedictorian out of their class. I know that, but they didn't get that because of me. Come on, somebody. Because I said, let's go fish. I'm going to tell you, for 3 years in a row in their high school year, I took them at midnight to go see the opening of Star Wars. Lord of the Rings. When Lord of the Rings came out, it was during exam week. 3 years in a row, they had exams the next day, and we went at midnight till 3 o'clock in the morning and opening of the Lord of the Rings. Come on, somebody. They were still valedictorian. Come on, somebody. Next page. All right, let's go on the next page. And the Lord give you peace. And it means more than just peace. It means be blessed in every way that you possibly bless. Listen, when you come in this building, when you sing this morning like we sang, don't you lift your hands and sing like you're singing Home on the Range. You need to lift your hands to a God that wants to bless you and keep blessing you and to you to bless your children and sing as if it means eternity's sake. And so, man, I lift my hands. I just get lost in the Lord. And I just do it. I love this. Jesus sends them out two by two, and he says, bring your peace. Bring the shalom. That's what the word, the Lord give you shalom. It means peace. And Jesus said, when you go into a house, if your peace remains, leave your peace there. If it doesn't, they don't receive it, then take your peace with you. You know what that means? That means if you receive the shalom of God, that means those houses that those disciples went into, peace reigned in that house. Man, there was no fighting going on. There was no this going on. There was no that going on. There was no cabinet cursing. You know, when you slap in the cabinet, slap and all that stuff. There was just peace in that house. And I tell you what, I said, I'm going to receive the peace. Come on, I'm going to receive the peace of God in my home. Now, we've never had a fight. We've had intense discussions, but we've never had a fight. We were having a fight one time in the car. And Jennifer, she was about 4 or 5. I remember little voices, be kind and considerate to everyone. That's all I need, children that listen to me preach, you know. All right, how do I qualify for the blessing? And how do I qualify the blessing? Well, you got to be in the family of God. There's two families, a family of the Lord and family of the devil. And I remember I had this, one of the pastors at Bethany one time, he said, he called, I forgot where it was, a music store. And he went in there to get, he went there and he was going to get something. And the guy said, I play music too. And he said, oh, you play music for God? And the guy went, you play music for the devil. And how many like to be bold? So it's just good to be bold sometimes. And but there are two families really just saved or lost. You know, when the Titanic sunk and everybody went there in England to look, they had on a big board, they had saved and lost. This had to do with just all, everybody on the Titanic, you know, they had all this different steerage class and you know, upper class and where you could go, you couldn't go on the Titanic. But listen, when it was all said and done, there was just two classes, saved or lost. Billionaires were listed with janitors. Mamas were listed with sailors. It was just saved or lost. And in the end of time, no matter what job you had, what nationality you were, what color skin you got, it'd just be two classes of people, saved or lost, saved or lost. And the blessing, listen, the blessing of God only comes on those that he's given his life. But I go to church, pity. Oh, but I read the Bible, pity. But I pray sometimes, pity. You see, you've got to come to a place where you have surrendered your life. And you've said, Lord, forgive me of all I've done, Lord. I ask, thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place. And you paid the price for me. And literally, Jesus comes into your life and changes your life. And the amazing thing is, it is so easy, but it's costly. It costs you everything. It costs you everything. You just surrender it all. You surrender everything. And the amazing thing is, you know, it's like you're driving down the road, and this is just picture your life as your car, and you're driving it, and the Lord comes into your life and says, "Give me your life," and you surrender. You say, "God, my life is yours," and then He says, "Okay, put your hands back on the wheel." Now, you drive it. Yeah, you drive it, but now it belongs to me. And my life belongs to the Lord. I still live it. It says, Paul said that. It says, the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. And so you live it by that way. So this morning, maybe you're here, you've never really done that. You never surrendered. And I'm going to tell you, the blessings of God can come on your life. But everybody just bow your head just one time, would you? Lord, I just pray for everyone in here that's never really come to that place where they've surrendered and given their life to the Lord and really said, Lord, take over. Lord, I surrender. Thank you for dying in my place. Maybe you want to do that this morning. And so I want to just pray with you. And you pray with us. If you want to do that, you pray. We're all going to pray together. I'm going to ask everybody to pray so he'll help you. And I want you to pray this prayer and just mean it from your heart and just ask the Lord. It's very simple. It's not complicated, but it's costly. So everybody pray. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me and paying the price of all the sins I've done. Forgive me. I turn my life over to you. Come into my life. Save me, Jesus. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Everybody give the Lord a good clap offering this morning. Would you do that? In thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We used to have a singer many years ago called Marty Goetz. And Marty back then, this has been many, 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 20-some, 30-some years ago he came. And but he had a little daughter named Misha. And she's now grown up. She's in her 20s, married with kids. And but she wrote a song, and her dad do this song together called The Aaronic Blessing, which is the Lord bless you. Listen, we're going to end up this morning watching this. Watch this.
Shalom. This is the way.
Give the Lord a great clap offering today. Would you do that? Come on. Everybody stand up. Close your eyes one last time, would you? The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. And the Lord protect you, keep you in every aspect of your life. Put a hedge about you and your family. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. He's turned his face towards you and your children. The Lord, do that today. God, turn your face toward them and their children, and God, toward their work, toward their income, toward their businesses, Lord. Do their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. God, bless them in the name of the Lord. Father, be gracious to them, Lord. Give them what they don't deserve today. God, bless them beyond what even words, Lord. Bless them because you're good, not because they're good. You're good, God. And so I just ask you, be gracious unto them. Lord, make your face to shine upon them. Take rainy days away, and Lord, bring sunshine in their life. God, I ask you for that. Be gracious to them in every aspect. And God, I pray, let the peace that passes understanding be theirs. God, I bless them in the name of the Lord. Everybody said a great amen today. Give the Lord one more good clap offering. God bless you.